We're going to do things a little bit different today. We're going to go ahead and have the message now, then followed by the baptizing. We still have Peter and Jainam who have not arrived yet, so we hope they will make it. They may have heard the rumor that the water's cold and decided not to come. I will confess that it is because of a comedy of errors on the part of the pastor that we have cold water in the baptistry. Reuben, I'm sorry, but it's going to show that you're a man. Okay, and so we look forward to that beautiful picture. This morning, I decided to try to bring a message on the subject of baptism, what we believe about baptism. There are many scriptures that we could read, but we're going to start out, first of all, by reading Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I've asked following the baptismal service, Brother Robert is going to lead us in the Lord's Supper, and we will look forward to that as we have the opportunity to observe both of the Lord's ordinances that he has given to the church. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In him, that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And then, if you would like, flip over to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20, what we typically call the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." You may be seated. We believe baptism is important because it is the first command that we are to obey after we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And in our church doctrinal statement, it simply says baptism is the immersion in water of a believer as a confession of his faith in Jesus Christ and is prerequisite to church membership and participation in the Lord's Supper. So that is very concisely what we believe about the Lord's Supper. But and I'm going to try to move fairly quickly because I know that we've got a lot to do today. But point number one, baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. We believe that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. And what we mean by this is that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded it. He ordained it. It comes, the word ordinance comes from the word ordained. And it has been given to us as a commandment in such a way that would make it an ongoing practice of the church. We have found this mentioned explicitly in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And so in that verse of Scripture, we are commanded to go. And in our going, we are commanded to make disciples. And in that verse, make disciples is the main verb. So as we go, according to the command of Christ, to the ends of the earth, to every creature, our goal is to make disciples. But after that, there are two subordinate participles. The first one is to baptize. And then the second is teaching them. So the church is commanded to do all of this for all disciples. Making disciples of all nations includes baptizing them. And so Jesus gave this ordinance, this commandment to the church. And we have five people, Lord willing, who are going to obey that command this morning and follow the Lord in baptism. In the time frame of obeying this commandment, he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So the promise of help from Jesus to be with us, to go with us, to never leave us, is for as long as this age lasts. And that will be when we hear the trumpet sound and the archangel shout and the Lord Jesus comes from heaven again, until the end of the age. So baptism is a commandment. It is an ordinance of the Lord. It is to be performed as we make disciples and lead people to Christ until Jesus returns at the end of the age. So that's the first point. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. Second of all, baptism is by immersion in water. We believe that baptism, this burial in water, is an expression of union with Christ in death and resurrection. And it comes, and it can come, only by being immersed in water. The clearest evidence of this is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. If we can turn and read those verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. In these verses, the Apostle Paul says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And as we read these verses, I believe it is most naturally understood to mean that when we are baptized, we are buried underwater and then come up out of the water to signify or picture rising from the grave. The word baptism or baptizo in the Greek means to dip or to immerse. And most Bible scholars agree that this is the way that the early church practiced baptism. And the evidence would seem to indicate that only much later in the history of the church does the practice of sprinkling or pouring emerge. And I would go on to say that certainly there are many sincere and faithful Christians who were sprinkled or baptized by sprinkling or pouring. And since baptism itself does not save us, but only demonstrates the inward salvation we have already received, many of those who have experienced sprinkling for baptism do faithfully serve the Lord. However, we certainly and sincerely believe that in order to fully obey the commands of Christ, we must follow him in baptism by immersion. Now, there are some other scriptures that give us indication that baptism should be by immersion. The first one I'd mention would be Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 37 and 38. And you know this story. The Ethiopian eunuch, as he was traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, and God had sent Philip there to encounter him out in the desert. And Philip got in his chariot, and he preached the word to him, preached the gospel to him, and the man believed and was saved. And so he said, "What would hinder me from being baptized?" And he said, "There's water here. There's much water here." And so the Bible says that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him there in the desert. And so we believe that this would indicate that because they went down into the water, only make sense if they were going to immerse him, not to sprinkle him. Again, another verse in John chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says, John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because water was plentiful there. You don't need plentiful water if you're going to simply sprinkle someone. You just need a jar. So there is really very little dispute that this was the way the early church baptized. They did it by immersing the new believer in water to signify his burial and resurrection with Jesus Christ. Point number three, baptism is for believers only. Baptism, we believe, is an expression of our faith and therefore only for believers. So our understanding of the New Testament is that the meaning of baptism includes the fact that it is an expression of the faith of the one being baptized. It is not something that an unbeliever can do. And I might add, it is not something that an infant can do. That is why we don't personally baptize infants. And I've got a long treatise on that, but I'm going to omit it this morning if you'll allow me to. But turning back to our text that we read this morning in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so here, Paul, writing in Colossians, is talking about the subject of baptism. And he says here that the words through faith, these words are all important on this issue. Paul says that when you come up out of the water, signifying being raised with Christ, that this is happening because of our faith. Another verse of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so here, of course, I believe you have a double picture. You have the picture of spiritual baptism whereby the Holy Spirit, in the act of regeneration, places us into Christ. This is spiritual baptism. But in order to picture and demonstrate that, we use water baptism, the act of immersion, placing a person down into the water, signifying their burial, coming up out of the water, signifying their resurrection, a picture of what has already happened within their own hearts. And so we become sons of God through faith and no other way. But after he says here in the Galatians, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then he says, for as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For is the connecting this way of becoming sons of God with baptism. In other words, we are baptized not in order to save us, but we are being baptized because we already have been saved, and as a demonstration of that inward act of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number four, baptism pictures union with Christ in his death and resurrection. And again, the clearest picture of this in the Bible is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And let me read those words again. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Many people read these verses and say that water baptism is the means of our being united to Christ. In Romans, however, as we read through that great book of theology, the one thing that Paul emphasizes over and over again is that our salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Therefore, it would be illogical and impossible for the act of being baptized in water, being immersed in water, for it to cleanse us from our sins, for it to have any efficacy toward our salvation. But it is rather simply a demonstration of what has happened already in our heart. Faith unites us to Jesus Christ. Baptism symbolizes that union that has already taken place through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. We might use an illustration of this. When a couple get married, they exchange the rings. And it's typical for them to say these words, "With this ring, I thee wed." When we say those words, we don't mean that the ring or the putting on of the ring on the finger is what makes us married. But rather, it shows, the ring shows and demonstrates the covenant and symbolizes the covenant. But it is the covenant making vows that makes the marriage. And so it is with faith and baptism. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are united to Him. We are joined to Him. And to demonstrate that through an act of faith, we obey His command to be buried with Him in water. So we might paraphrase Paul by saying, with this baptism, you are united to Christ. And the point we are focusing on here is that we are united to Him in His death and burial and resurrection, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 make very clear. So we have the imagery of baptism as death and burial and resurrection. Christ was buried and then raised to new life. And through our faith, we are united with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism dramatically portrays what happened spiritually when we received Christ as our Savior. Your old self of unbelief died. And a new you has risen to walk in newness of life. That is what you confess to the world and to heaven when you follow the Lord in baptism. Last point. Baptism is in the name of the Trinity. Again, Matthew 28. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism means doing this immersing, this baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus' command. That means that not just any immersion is baptism. But as we baptize these who are here today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are making a solemn appeal to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be present in this act of baptism today. And since Baptism pictures what happens when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. We are appealing to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to make it true and real in the lives of those who are being baptized. Because God the Father loved us so much that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to come into this world to die the agonizing death on the cross of Calvary. And because Jesus Christ, the Son, was willing to obey the Father and to come down to this earth and die that death. And because the Holy Spirit convicts and draws us and carries out the work of regeneration in our hearts when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Therefore, it is very appropriate that when we baptize someone, we do it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is no salvation without the Father, no salvation without the Son, and no salvation without the Holy Spirit. When we call on their name in baptizing, we depend upon them and honor them and say that this act is because of them and by them and for them. So I pray that this morning, as those five who are going to be baptized, will make this a, even though the water's going to be very cold, I promise you, that it will be a, and in fact, if when you hit the cold water, if you want to say hallelujah or praise the Lord or whatever, that'll be fine too. We want to remember that this is a spiritual exercise. We are obeying the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Richard, come up.